Accession number 18619, Reel 5.
I said, I'll go back to our house. That was a big house surrounded by barbed wire. It was fairly cozy there. And I went back there, and eventually the postman, or the guard who was in charge of us, came along and wanted to know what the matter was, because we should be working, not going back to our quarters. So I always became the speaker for the party, I don't know why. I said, the Krieg is for by, and we're not going to work anymore. He said, what? So I told him about the paper I'd read, and he made some inquiries in the neighborhood, and it was confirmed, and he said, oh, you're right. So he said, there's one thing I didn't tell you about, what the Cartier said when he was discussing it. We were discussing what was going to happen when we knew all about the war, you know. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, we'll try and get back over to his fault. He says, you know, for years in this country we've been singing Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles. He said, well, I'm afraid in view of this, it'll have to be changed to Deutschland, Deutschland, alles über. I thought it was rather an acute wisecrack for one of a beaten nation. However, I'll get back to talking to the postman. When he realised that I was right in telling this, he said, well, I don't know what to do. I said, well, I think the first thing you better do is to phone through to the camp and ask when you should bring us back to the camp. Of course, we've got to go back there for dispersal. That was our sort of a focal point. Oh, he said, Anyway, he got on the phone, and eventually got the message that you've got to stay put where you are. It's going to be some time before we can have all the prisoners back who belong to this camp. It's all got to be worked out and properly controlled. So we realised then we were stuck. We were stuck in that place for didn't know how long. However, we tried to make the most of it. It was nice walking about the place, not having anything to do. There was another working party about a mile away, and we got some British prisoners there we used to go and visit. And we got chummy, you know, with one another. And we got a bit proud off for just walking around the village day after day. So one day somebody said, hey, what about a trip to Berlin? They can't stop us now, and we've all got a bit of German money. So I said, well, that's a damn good idea. And so the four of us went on a trip to Berlin, and we got there, and but I've got to make a call. Yes, where are we? There we are. Hello. I'm sorry, I got called away then. I think I was talking about arriving in Berlin for our first visit. Well, we got there. It wasn't such a great distance from where we were, and started walking along the footpaths and going through onto the Linden and Brandenburger Tor and all generally all the way around. And the extraordinary thing was that the people saw us coming along, they all got out on the road for us. But that soon wore off. We started going to visit Berlin two or three times a week for right up to Christmas, actually. We didn't know it at the time. But anyway, some organisations, I don't know if it was a Red Cross or whatever it was, they realised that quite a lot of prisoners were sort of coming out like we were visiting Berlin, and they arranged for kiosks to be set up in the town, in the city, and for so that light refreshments could be provided for prisoners who were walking around the town. Thought that was very useful. We made full use of that. Anyway, I suppose it was about middle of November, middle of December before we had any hint about moving out of it, or going back to our camp to assemble for moving off, going back to England. But we were in one of the kiosks one day, and a chap in charge asked us what camp we came from. So we said, "Dear Otzbach, Wussemach." So he said, "Well, you better get back there quickly, because we understand that they're shortly be on the move." Well, that was good enough for us. Back we went to our site where we kept our clothes and that, our hut and that, and got the sentry to rig up the camp and tell them that we'd been to Berlin and been told that we were shortly to be welcomed back at the camp. And they were told, "Yes, there is something in the offing, but there's nothing settled so far." But it was a week or so before we did get on the move back to the camp. And we went back to that camp, got back to the camp, realised it was going to be some time before we moved off, and we started going on our visits to Berlin again. And incidentally, I'll stop there, and before I do it, I'll tell you one interesting incident when on this big estate where we were. I was working in the front garden of this big estate one day when a troop of gypsies came into the village selling horses that they'd collected and trained. And one of the gypsies stood at the garden gate and shouted out, "Hi, Englander, don't you wish you were at Lord, what was the name of that? Don't you wish you were at Hampstead Heath instead of there?" It was amazing. He spoke quite good English, and in pre-war days had been in the habit of taking going with the gypsies around England and selling, collecting and selling horses. But anyway, that was up to Christmas 1918. Let's have another go. Yes. Well, of course, we were getting a bit of food, meals and that now, and they rustled up with the aid of our parcels to give us a fairly reasonable Christmas dinner, nothing like what one gets home, of course. And we spent all the time there dawdling about when are we going to hear, when and what's happened, why don't they send us home here in 7 weeks and we're still here. And as I say, we were very anxious, and one day, I think it was about the 27th of December 1918, we were told that we will be moving off the following day. Well, the 27th, 28th came, and eventually we were. We got orders to pick up our bits and pieces, line up, and catch a train out to out on the Baltic coast at Warnemünde. And I said to one of the officials, where are we going to? He said, oh, we're going to catch a Danish Red Cross boat at Warnemünde, and sail off the Baltic to Copenhagen. I said, well, it's a funny one. Getting ready for sailing back to England. Well, what happened was this: eventually, a big troop carrier came and docked at Copenhagen. A hell of a sight it was too. Mind of a few thousand prisoners to be loaded aboard it. Eventually, after the sort tied up and came ashore and saw the people in officials in Copenhagen, and then they sort of took over the shipment of they were lined up on the deck, and eventually ordered onto the boat in a perfect uniform order, in parties of 20, and each party ship's crew were detailed one member of that 20 to take charge, because it was necessary when you got to your spot on the upper deck. No, we went to the under deck. That was to be our position, and the one in charge would be responsible to see that that party got its full quota of food and drink at a given sign in the ship's company. Well, that was going fairly smoothly, And we, a ship's company made sure that we were as comfortable as possible. But of course, naturally we were cramped. It wasn't a sort of luxury liner by any means. It was a troop ship, and but we found nooks and crannies to make ourselves comfortable. And well, anyway, as I say, we were detailed to stop in there, and in our section, and boat set sail. Well, I suppose it was it was December 31st. Set sail, and we were of course realised it was a time of the year, and the crew were old. Marion Brighton was sort of beer floating in the air, and there's a bit of sing-song, and at a given time there was a hell of a balloon with the ship's horns and whatnot. Over there, quieting down about 2 o'clock, and we sat there. We went to sleep, and at 8 o'clock in the morning we landed it. Our destination, I mentioned it just now. When we got there, the whole of the dockside was crowded out by troops and officials and bands and whatnot, and got a royal reception. And we were all led around to tables. Temporary tables had been put out there, and with telegram forms on the tables. The idea being so it was so that we could write a short message to our parents and or friends or wives and husbands, let them know we landed in Great Britain, we'll be home in a few days. Fell in again and had to march towards it looked like a long storage shed at some time, but it was fitted up with long tables right down in the centre of them, all laid for sumptuous feed. And of course, we hadn't been used to a table for over 4 years. So it was quite exciting. Anyway, we had a wonderful breakfast, and what joy it was to sit at a table and be served with food. And anyway, we had a darn good meal, and afterwards we stayed at that station practically all day. We were allowed to wander around if we wanted to, but of course we had to go for toilet papers and that. But then we had another meal about 4 o'clock, and then we all fall in, and sixers were detailed to get into certain trains. Our particular train was going to London, and there were other trains there. It had all been arranged very well indeed, and we got aboard our particular train, but we weren't going to London direct. We were going to Ripon, That was to be our disposal center. And that wasn't for very long, about 3 or 4 hours journey, I think it wasn't. When we got there, we were marched to barracks and that around. And of course, for most of us, we hadn't been to Britain before, and it was a real prehistoric place. They seem to be carrying out old town criers calling, he stood on the corner of the square there and blew his horn and made official announcements. Quite prehistoric, we thought. Anyway, we were settled down in Ribbon for the night, and then the following morning when all this work had to be done. First of all, we were all medically examined, and it was a thorough medical examination. And next thing was that we were fitted out with new clothing where needed. Well, some people wanted new uniforms and that, but they had them there to cope with it. Anyway, they weren't going to leave there without being looking smart. All that done, and the following day we went into all our particular about pay and all that sort of business, and we were instructed what to do about pay, to contact our pay office. In the case of our division, it was somewhere in the northeast coast. But we were told we were then on a month's leave, and we were given chips for food and that, because there was still still food being issued, and by coupon, or whatever they call it, the food ministry was still operating, and we were given other notes for another note was for our civilian clothing. Apparently we were entitled to it, and we were given a check that which we could present in London and get that whatever we wanted. Anyway, we eventually got everything in order, got our railway pass, and got on a train, and off we went. There weren't a lot of people travelling on our train, but a few that were. weren't stopping in London. They went off at different angles. None came the way I wanted to go. I wanted to go jump on the tube and I don't know if it was Euston or King's Cross we landed. I forget now, but anyway, when we landed there, of course, I made a beeline for tube and got to Waterloo, and of course I was on my own then, and got out there and said, have a look around, and how lovely to be free in here, standing on a station like this, and a lot of people were looking at me. I wonder what I, was so joyful about. And anyway, eventually got to our street, Frazier Street, and knocked on the door, and I got a wonderful greeting from my mother and father and my sister. My two brothers were still in the war, well, they're still in forces. One was in France and the older one was just still out in India. They came home later. And anyway, of course, it was just such a joyous occasion. We couldn't find, it was difficult to keep going in telling our tales. Well, I was naturally anxious to know how they'd been getting on during the war, and also to hear my experiences. Well, we sat during there for about 1 o'clock in the morning. Of course, we realized we had to get to bed because my father had to go to work the following day. So we retired, and he went up early, I think. Yes, he went up early that night. And we retired. And it was such a joy getting into a bed. You see, we had a three-bedroom house, and in the back, father and mother in the front, on the back was another room where which housed the three lads of the family, and a side room that our sister occupied. Well, of course, when I got into that room, my two brothers not there, had a bed all to myself. I thought, my God, what a joy after all that time sleeping in prison war camps. It just so happened, and I went to sleep the following day. Got up, and another said to me, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I don't know. I had to not settle accounts, but arrange it. See, I got food coupons from when I left the disposal center, and I handed those over to my mother, and I said, look, now I'm home, and it's including your food bill, isn't it? So I said, I suggest that if I hand you 30 shillings a week, would that be sufficient? Oh, yes, she said, that do me well, I managed well on that. So that was arranged. Anyway, then I didn't know I was in the world. I didn't know what to do, turn this way, but I did go out eventually and walk around and see if I could see any of my old friends, but I found very few of them. There was one chap, Tom Hare, I think his name was, who I used to be friendly with before the war, he was in the Navy Volunteers, but after that, well, with the Royal Navy Division, but his little party managed to get, when we were told to retreat, they managed to get into the into Holland, over the border into Holland, and they were interred there right through the war, and had a wonderful time. In fact, in many instances, some of those people got leave to go home during their internment, when people had bereavement and things like that. And of course, they were allowed to walk about anywhere they liked. And and had a real jolly time. Well, and of course, when he got home, he went back to his old job, and in the evenings he was floating around. Square pushing, as they call it. What the hell do you mean by square? Well, apparently he used to go over to Chelsea and Putney and that. And